Good day, friends. Let's begin the broadcast today with a word of prayer. If you care to join us in Ken, feel free to do so. Let us pray. Our Father and our God who art in heaven, we come to thy sanctified presence at this time once again with grateful hearts, for the blessings of life that thou hast bestowed upon us. We are glad for the preservation of life, and we realize, Father, that since we last called upon thee, that there undoubtedly are those who become sick. There are undoubtedly those who have passed from this stage of action. We ask, Father, a blessing upon those who are ill today. If it is thy will, may the means that is being used soon restore them to their health. We trust, Father, thou will be with the homes that are filled with sorrow today. May we say on this broadcast and in this prayer that we personally know, Father, that your word and your presence can be a great comfort and a consolation. So those families that do not know how to seek thee, may something be said or done by one of thy servants or one of thy children that may encourage that person to turn to thee for comfort and consolation. We also pray for our nation, Father. We pray for nations of the world, realizing that as we look at the Word of God, that thou truly has offered peace to each individual. But that peace that can come to the world can only come through the channel of us first gaining peace with thee, and then seeing clearly to live at peace with our fellow man. We are glad for this broadcast and the opportunity to proclaim thy truth without addition, subtraction, or alteration. We are thankful for the brethren who make this possible, and we trust that thou will bless them. May the teaching that we offer on the broadcast today go into the homes and hearts of many who listen today. Help us then, Father, to this end. We humbly ask in Jesus' name, and amen. Well, when we talk about some of the great things that Jesus has said, we think of the words that are found in Mark 9:1, where Christ was talking about his kingdom. Let me begin the broadcast today by reading from Mark 9:1. And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here which will not taste of death, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. Now this is an outstanding passage because it deals with what Jesus had to say in part about his kingdom. You know, the wonderful thing when we hear Jesus speaking about the kingdom is that he was talking on a subject that the people had heard about prior to his coming to this earth. I stood in a congregation assembly one evening, and we were having a Bible drill, and I simply made reference to the kingdom, and I said, Now, I'm going to give you a chapter and a reference in a verse, a chapter and verse, and I believe you can tell me the book where this prophecy is found. And so I gave chapter 2:44, and immediately someone in the audience spoke up and said, Daniel. You see, this was pronounced in their life because these people had studied the Bible for a long time. And, of course, when you read Daniel 2:44, many, many years before Jesus spoke this in Mark 9:1, you'll find that Daniel prophesied truly by the Spirit of God that the Lord would indeed build a kingdom or establish a kingdom which would be everlasting. It would not be left to other people as the kingdoms of the world, like the Babylonian Empire was left to the Medo-Persians. And the Medo-Persian power fell to Alexander the Great and the Macedonians of the Grecian Empire. And finally, the Roman Empire took over from the Grecian. And it eventually fell into 10 different parts. And thus we find there has never been since that time a world power like that. But it was in the days of these kings, or these kingdoms, that the Lord did set up a kingdom which should never be destroyed. Well, as Christ talks in Mark 9:1, he gives us one of those very outstanding passages that tells us the same kingdom of which Daniel spoke and Isaiah spoke and other writers spoke, that same kingdom would come into existence in the lifetime of his apostles. Now, I am sure there were disciples as well as apostles again gathered here with him as he stated this in Mark 9:1, but notice the point. There be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. Well, that was during the days of the Roman Empire. Jesus had told the apostles in Luke 24 and 49, just before he went to heaven. This is after his resurrection and before his ascension in that time frame. Mark that reference down in your mind or in your Bible or in a notebook. Luke 24, 49. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Now you see, the kingdom was to come with power. It was to come in their lifetime. And then Jesus, just before he went to heaven, answered a question regarding the kingdom. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 6, this question was asked by his followers, namely his apostles. Lord, will you restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father put in his own power. But then he said that you receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and then you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, in the uttermost part of the earth. You remember that. And when he said this, he began to ascend to heaven, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And the announcement so clearly given by the angels, the men in white apparel, in Acts 1 and 11, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up in heaven? This same Jesus that is taken up from you to heaven shall so come in like manner as ye've seen him go to heaven. You see, the question of the kingdom was being discussed. The last question that Jesus answered that we have recorded in the Bible was relative to his kingdom. And then when that power did come on the day of Pentecost, in Acts 2 to 1 to 4, we have the evidence of the kingdom becoming a reality. For when Peter brought his sermon to a climax there in that second chapter of Acts on the day of Pentecost, and I'm sure many of you have read that outstanding account, he told them the same Jesus that you'd crucified, God hath made both Lord and Christ. You see, Christ had gone back to heaven. They had waited for approximately 10 days. The Spirit came. Christ was at the right hand of God. Apparently, when he went back to heaven, then he was considered by his Father to be a King of kings and Lord of lords. So Peter said, the one you've crucified, God hath made both Lord and Christ. In other words, he's anointed him as a ruler or as a king. And then when they cried out, what must we do? He told them in Acts 2:38 to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. That was for the remission of sins, but it was in the name of Jesus Christ. In other words, Christ was a king at the time Peter made that statement. So they that gladly received his word were baptized, as we have in Acts 2:41. And they entered into the kingdom. How do we know? Colossians 1 and 13 is a follow-up passage here that speaks of the transition from sin to righteousness by saying that he has delivered us from the power of darkness and he has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. You see, all the way through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we have the evidence of Jesus not alone proving that he was the Son of God, but we have this looking forward to the time when his kingdom would become a reality. Now, his kingdom was not of this world, so it does not have an earthly headquarters. And a lot of times we have brethren who find themselves in somewhat of a precarious position because someone will come up to them and say, where's the headquarters of your church? And of course we understand the church and the kingdom that follow the same parallel. Christ had said in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church, and talking about the same thing in Matthew 16:19, he said, I'll build my kingdom. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom, and so on. It would become a reality. And when a brother has to answer, the headquarters of the church is in heaven, sometimes people look at them a little peculiar light. You see, we are oriented in the world today religiously, especially in our country, and I suppose it's like this in other countries, to religious denominationalism. There are a lot of people who are just as honest as any of us are today who are looking forward to this kingdom in the future. How many times do you hear people say, the Lord's coming back to set his kingdom up on this earth and reign 1,000 years, and a reference is found in the 20th chapter of Revelation that mentions about the resurrection of the souls. It doesn't say anything about the bodies. But they look about Christ coming back to this earth. Now, I understand these people are sincere, and I want to make it clear that I'm not in any way casting a light upon their conviction. But you see, Christ isn't going to come as a king the next time. He's going to come as a judge. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 says we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give account of the deeds done in the body, whether they be good, evil, or whether they be good, whether they be bad, or whether they be good, and so on. He's going to separate the sheep from the goats. Now, what are we saying? We're simply saying that it would be a teaching that would be encouraging to the devil. If you can put off your obedience to the gospel until Jesus comes again. You see, when he comes again, the elements are going to melt with fervent heat, according to the third chapter of 2 Peter. This earth and the things that are therein are going to be burned up. So you know you could be like one of the foolish virgins if you're in this category. They knew the bridegroom was coming. And when he did come, then they turned to the wise ones and they said, "Give us your oil because our lamps are going out." And you remember they said, "You're going to have to go to the market. We just got enough for ourselves." And they went to the market and they came back and the door was shut. Now, we're not trying to use a scare tactic in this broadcast today, but I simply want to say that the kingdom in Mark 9 and 1, spoken by Jesus, was to come into existence in the lifetime of the apostles. If you're still looking for a kingdom, then I'm wondering, in the light of the scripture, if maybe you're looking for the wrong thing. We trust that this may be a challenge to your thinking on the broadcast today. If you have questions, feel free to send them in. Your friend and neighbors of the Church of Christ bring you this message each week at this time with a desire that it will help you to come to know God's Word better. Tell a friend or neighbor about the broadcast. Be in the house of the Lord and be with us next time as we continue on with what God and Jesus has said.